We have been blessed. Amen.
It's been great work with the military. I didn't say we're sent out of the Altman Baptist Church, Altman, Pennsylvania, and have been our sending church for 23 years, and we praise the Lord. We were just there, and the same preacher's there, hallelujah, and her husband, too. I'm just kidding. But same preacher's wife, too, actually, and love those folks. My wife and I met in marching band in high school. She witnessed to me as my girlfriend, knew I needed to get saved, very obviously, I would suppose. And I eventually got saved alone in my bedroom with the Bible. And then she saw such a great difference in me. She said, you know, I mean, I'm not quoting the exact quote, but she knew she needed what I had. And I led her to the Lord. So that's kind of unusual. But we're thankful for that. That was in 79 and 80. And God called us then in 82 to the ministry, called me, and then she surrendered and yielded, and then the late 80s led us directly to go after Bible school and assistant pastor and all that to go to the military. So we've been excited, been thankful just to have what we hope is a strategic part in God's work. You know, during the first desert storm over in the Middle East back in 91, I guess, General Schwarzkopf, who was in charge of that war, he was the head general there, he was asked what the secret of winning it in essentially 100 hours was. And he said, well, I spent my entire life planning for how to execute a war in the Middle East. So he said, when we began it, it was already strategically in place. We knew what to do. And, you know, that's the same kind of mindset that we need to take as Christians, amen? We need to look at the big picture and say, you know, what can we do to prepare to be used of the Lord, amen, on a daily basis? And so with that in mind, it's just for the rest of the time tonight, I know this is hot dog night and whatever else. Try not to keep you real long, but it's five till, and we're not going to belabor this. But here's a thought on getting the big picture. In the book of Mark, in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, amen. Mark chapter 8, if you would go over there, Mark chapter 8. And there's a miracle that Jesus did that I've often looked at and thought, you know, this is an unusual miracle. In fact, every miracle Jesus did was different. Amen. It wasn't some kind of a charismatic experience. He didn't go to Bible school. He didn't teach people how to heal. Amen. It was just all different situations. But he did heal people. And this particular one, it was done in two steps. And this, we're going to look at these tonight. And I believe there's a good application we can draw in Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. So here's a blind man. He spits in his eyes, and that was unusual right there. I don't know that any other time he spat in someone's eyes. He spat on the ground one time, but here he spat on someone's eyes. Could you imagine the blind man going out of town by the hand? And he's thinking, okay, is it going to be done like he healed the leper? Is it going to be done like he healed the this or that? And the next thing you know, the Lord's standing there, and the blind man hears, I mean, just every time was different, amen? But sure enough, he spits in his eyes, and he puts his hands upon him and asks him if he saw odd, or do you see anything? And he looks up from looking down, and he said, I see men as trees walking. You know, those words just kind of take on meaning when you stop and ask yourself, why did the Lord heal this man in two stages? Why was there phase one and phase two? And what was the result of the first stage, and what was the result of the second stage? The result of the first stage was partial sight. And his confession was, I see men as trees walking. And then the results of the second is verse 25. After that, the confession of, I do not see quite right. He said, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. So after the second one, the results were he's now normal. He's seeing like a person should see, 20/20 vision or whatever. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. So this unusual miracle we're going to look at tonight and try to draw an application. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the Berean Baptist Church. Lord, a church with a great name. Lord, a church with a great just a pastor and Lord, his wife, and Lord David, and Father, just everyone else that's involved here. Father, the leaders we've been around, just people doing their job, people going out, reaching people. But Lord, all of us, whether we're busy or whether we're not, could stand to have an eye checkup. And I pray that you'd help us to do that tonight from the Word of God. And we'll thank you for what your Spirit does. May it lift burdens and save the lost. We're praying in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was back in Pennsylvania, I got saved in 1979. When I got saved, I mean, it was a radical difference in the way I saw, not physically. But, you know, before I got saved, I saw, I couldn't see God. Amen. God, I avoided. When my girlfriend asked me, are you saved? I was like, don't bring that up. Don't bring up God. You know, we don't want him in this relationship. He'll mess everything up. And nothing could be farther from the truth. The God of this world had blinded my eyes, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into me. I was blind to God, just like this man in the scripture. You know, I believe before he got healed at all, he could not see the light correctly. Because after that first stage, he just saw forms. In other words, he saw the contrast of light and darkness. But his confession, you know, can you see anything at all? Probably would have been, no, I can't see the light. Well, can you see yourself? No, I can't see myself. There's no forms at all. You know, before I got saved, that's the way it was. And by the way, for you too, if you've before you trusted Christ, or if you have not yet, you would have to say, well, I don't see myself as God sees me. And I didn't see myself as God sees me. I thought I was a pretty good guy. I thought, you know, I'm not a bad sinner. I don't chew. I don't smoke. Don't chew. Don't go with the girls that do, you know, that kind of thing. I was a moral guy. But inside, I was wicked, man. But when my girlfriend witnessed to me, Lisa, amen, 7 kids later, here we are. But back then, she just knew I needed the Lord, and I knew I didn't want anything to do with it because I was blind. I was blind. I couldn't see myself. I thought I was a good guy. I thought God was the man upstairs that I didn't want to, you know, if I face him someday, that'll be someday. Well, when I got saved in my bedroom, boy, I tell you what, man, the light came on. And I saw God suddenly as the holy Lord God that would not accept me on my good works. And in fact, he was going to send me to hell. He was holy. And I remember I got on my knees and for the first time, oh God, I never talked that way unless I was failing a test in school. Oh God, I'm a sinner. This book says I'm a sinner. Oh God. I saw the Lord. Boy, it was wonderful. But I also saw, because I accepted him, that he loved me and he received me on the basis of his son. Boy, a weight lifted off my shoulders that the day I got born again. And man, I could see. And I saw myself. I could see, and suddenly I was no longer the good old boy. I was a sinner. But boy, I'm so glad I'm a saved sinner now. But that, you see, that took the blinders being taken off. So I can associate with this first phase here pretty good. But you know what? Here's the thing. Does that mean that I see like I should? Because I can see the light clearly, because I can see myself clearly, that I'm there and who I am? No. What's the honest confession of this man? I see men as trees walking. That wasn't enough. You know what? If I was being honest, after I was saved in August of 1979, Brother Kevin, how do you see people? Here's the message tonight. How are you seeing? Well, to be honest with you, I see people as just kind of trees walking. I do not see people clearly. See, what are you talking about? After I got saved, I wish I could say I came out of the gate just out preaching and winning souls. Nothing could be farther from the truth. I was scared. I was shy. I was prideful. And it was hard for me. It still is hard for me to see people clearly as God sees them. I tend to see people as just some tree. When I'm walking down the street, I might as well be walking through the woods, because the people I'm passing mean, I'm talking about in my flesh, in the way I naturally am, when I need a second touch from the Lord, I might as well be walking through the woods, because those people are just like trees to me. I like it, though, when the Lord touches me and I get that vision and I can see things. In fact, keep your finger here. Go back to the book of, same book, chapter 10. I just underlined this in the pew. This got a hold of me the other day. Mark chapter 10, verse 21. Jesus, he was qualified to give a man sight, because this is how Jesus sees people. Verse 21, he saw the rich young ruler, the cocky rich young ruler, the same one that felt like he, you know, had something going for him with God. He said, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said, one thing thou lackest. Jesus beheld him, loved him. Hey, the rich young ruler was not just some tree. He was not just some guy, okay, let's cut another one down. He's in the way. He's just dumb. Let's get rid of this guy. He cared. You know, I think caring for people is one of the hardest things to do nowadays. I think one of the reasons is because Jesus said, because in the last days iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It's hard to just go out and love people on the highway when they're cutting you off, amen, and driving like they drive, especially around a military base. Those guys are in Fort Hood, Texas, where we've lived for a good amount of time. There's 50,000, I guess, active duty soldiers. They're all about 17, 18, 19 years old, and they all drive like they're about 12 years old. And it's just dangerous, man. It is just deadly. In fact, there's a sign when you leave the base, several, and there's little lights to change it very easily, remotely. This is how many days since someone died in an auto-related accident, a Fort Hood soldier. Not from a Muslim capping them off, from dying. And it's usually, you know, it'll make it 30 or 60, and then it'll roll over again. Anyway, there's a need in this day and hour to be able to, again, love people the way we have to if we're going to be strategically useful to the Lord. He honestly said, you know, I see men as trees walking. When I saw that scripture, I thought about how when I got saved, I fell in love with the military. Let me say, I did not serve in the military. And when God called me, I went to go into the military, to the Marine Corps, and I did the testing and worked with the recruiter, and I caught an illness, Lyme disease, and I don't even like limes, but I caught a tick, okay, and the tick affected my ticker, and I got a pacemaker, and I had a guy quote me. He said, "Well, blessed are the pacemakers. I don't care, that keeps you out of the military, okay?" And but my heart went in, amen. It wasn't ticking right, but it went in, and we've learned to love the military spiritually, but when I got saved, I fell in love with them on a patriotic level. You know, kind of like the DVD, it kind of starts out, you know, on the patriotic. I mean, hoorah! We just love the military because they defend our freedom, and they're the last bastion of people in the United States. It seems like that are as an institution trained in patriotic principles. Now the commander in chief is kind of trying to trickle down the undoing of that, but he has a hard time. Praise God. Because of the amount of people that are in that we know that want nothing to do with that. But everyone's hoping he leaves soon. But speaking of leaves, when I saw the military and I watched them walking, they looked like trees. They're in their camouflage and they're walking in formation. And they look like trees walking. And it was interesting when I saw that and thought, well, you know, that sounds like the military. But the Lord had to open my eyes a second time and say, hey, you need to go after their souls forget this, how impressive the bombs and the marching and the this and that is. Think about their eternity. And I said, wow, Lord, touch me again. And the Lord has broken my family's heart for the military. We love, we eat, drink, and sleep the military. Well, how about you? We're not just talking about military. Do you see men as trees walking? That's the question. Here's three ways to check whether that's true. Number one, when you see a tree, you know what you notice first, usually? You notice, even from a distance, you notice the form of the tree or the fashion of the tree. You know, when I see men, okay, how do you see souls? Well, I the first thing I look at and what I really care about, someone says, if we're honest sometimes, I see the fashion or the form of it, the outward appearance. In fact, I make a decision whether I'm going to witness to them based on the outward appearance. Is that your confession? Just, you know, okay, there's a tree there. What do you think about that tree? I don't know, pick a tree that you don't like. Down in Texas, we're not fond of cedar trees. Do we have any Texans here? All right. In Texas, there's these trees, and they soak up all the moisture in the ground. They give very little in return except bad allergies. And seems like it's the only thing I'm allergic to is the cedar trees. They're juniper trees in Texas. And but anyway, you see, hey, how'd you like to buy a juniper tree down in Texas? No, get rid of it. I don't want it. Get it away. Okay, someone says, hey, how'd you like to go witness to that guy? Oh, no, do you know what color he is? I don't like that kind. In other words, we easily classify the tree as worthy or unworthy. We can easily classify people as worthy of the gospel. I don't, you know, there's churches, I don't know about that. I don't think this church is, but down south especially, they will send a missionary to Africa, but they would not cross a street to witness to someone of that color. Would not do it. Why? They see men as trees walking. They just might as well be some tree out there across the street. I don't like that kind. By the way, some of the ugliest trees are some of the best trees. I was just in Adams County, Pennsylvania, which is the heart of apple tree country. Apple trees are ugly. If you've ever seen an apple orchard, especially without leaves, it's just sort of scraggly. Not like some of us, amen? We're just kind of shriveling up. But the Bible says we can still bring forth fruit in old age. But the fashion of the tree. Here's an example I had to face. In the DVD, there's a picture of me actually witnessing to a guy. My second son snapped a picture. I was standing here like this, witnessing to the guy, and he was standing here, and he had a baseball cap on backward. The United States Army had deposited him at Fort Hood, Texas. He got out of the Army. He stayed at Fort Hood, near Fort Hood. He lived in an apartment. The apartment, my wife was out door knocking with another lady, knocked on the door, and it turned out that apartment was a witch coven. And he was the priest of Wicca. And let me just say, his bark was very prickly. He had needles, you know, one of those kind of trees, if you will. His neck had tattoos. Kill, kill, murder, murder. He's just a bad dude. He said, he told me at one point later on, he said, yeah, he said, I could have, fire came out of my hands, man. He said, I levitated one time. He said, it's powerful stuff. And, thankfully, he told me that after what ensued took place. He came down where I was. I was in an RV. He came down near the RV, and I got to witness to him. Long story short, there was two occasions I had to witness to him. The first time, he was, not only was he rather intimidating with his appearance, but he was intimidating with the things he'd say. And it was just, I was just like, Lord, please love this guy through me, because I want to be through with him. I'm going to get rid of the guy. And finally, he was very hard to deal with. And at the end of the first conversation, he said, how do I know, Kevin, that you're not just a dream? These guys are weird, some of these witchcraft guys. He said, what if you're just a dream that I'm having? And I wanted to go, psh, how's this dream feel, buddy? Is that a dream? But I didn't. But he... I gave him, actually, John Romans, I said, read this. His name is Rob Miller. I said, read it. If you read it with an open heart and ask God to teach you something, you'll know. You'll just know. And he came back. And he came right up to my RV where we were. And I think he had that John Romans with him. But the first thing out of his mouth this time was, doesn't the Bible say the witch should die? That you should kill a witch or something like that? And, what am I going to say then? Because the Bible does say that. And I said, yes, it does. But it also says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Whew, thank you, Lord, for that verse. It came to me right when I needed it, talking to Rob. And I said, let me tell you how this sinner got saved, and God will save a witch the same way. I told him about it. He came into the RV, and we knelt down by the couch, and the guy got saved. The guy got saved, man. It was great. But let me just tell you, he still looked prickly. He still had the same bark because we brought him to church. He started coming to church. And the people, I was trying to talk him into wearing a turtleneck sweater, but it was, you know, I think it was summertime. And so the people were like shaking his hand and, okay. the tree was offensive, okay. But, hey, he's going to heaven. He'll get a new body. Should he have had that stuff? No, but such were some of us. Amen. The fashion of the tree is the first thing we see, and we have to get past that. In 2 Corinthians, very quickly, let me just read this verse to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says in verse 14, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, and I can just read it. You don't have to turn there. You can if you care to. 2 Corinthians 5, 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That's a blanket description of how we are to look at mankind. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth, in other words, from here on out, know we no man after the flesh. In other words, know we no man after the fashion and form and bark and needles and all that stuff. We're done with that. We're not going to make that judgment. Hey, you know what that means? It means that the guy at the gas station who takes your money and never thanks you and makes you mad, you know, you got to thank him for taking your money. Maybe he's got a turban on his head. Maybe he wears a towel, amen. And you say, "Ooh, just man, I tell you what, I don't want to witness to him." You know what? It would be a great. You would be lifted to a new level of faith if you look past that and beholding him, loved him, and gave him the gospel, and said, this changed my life. Give him a gospel tract. Witness to him. He may look real offensive. He may say, he may have face, nose rings, chin rings, cheek rings, amen, all those things. Look like he stuck his face in a tackle box. Just one of those really, really massively offensive people. And the Lord says, you know what? I want you to look at him as a victim for a while of the devil and not as a perpetrator. Oh, both are true. But let's start off by amen, giving God the benefit of the gospel here. And the fashions. Hey, I just want to say we need to get past looking at people when they come to church that way too. And I don't have time to preach about that, but James says if they come in one in goodly apparel and you go after them and you forget the guy in vile raiment, he says you've made a judgment with an evil thought. You've messed up. You're seeing them as a tree walking. That vile raiment and guy. Amen. Which brings me to the second point. Second thing I look at when I look at a tree, besides the fashion or the form, I see the fruit. I say, what can I get off this tree? If my wife says, let's plant a tree, honestly, the only trees we've ever planted are fruit trees. I want fruit off a tree or shade. I don't want anything. I can't think of anything else to get off a tree because I have to do something to that tree to get it to do that. And it's got to do something for me. If I'm going to invest any time in a tree, I want it to give something back. Amen. I want to get a coconut that I can stick a straw down through and just sit in a hammock and drink milk out of a coconut. Amen. That's my vision for a tree. Well, the fact is, you know what? Do you see aught? I've touched you. You can see. How do you see? Well, I see men as trees walking. What do you mean by that? I really make decisions based on, can I get anything off this guy? You know, the book of Jonah, I don't want to go there for the sake of time. In the book of Jonah, the very last chapter of the book, there's only one time in the entire life of Jonah that the scripture records he's happy. It says he's angry. He seems to be afraid. He is upset different times, but there's one time he's happy. It's not because people get saved. It's when he's sitting and watching afterwards to see what would become of the city. He gets hot and he gets mad about that. And a tree grows up over him, a gourd, and he gets shade from the tree. And it says, then he was happy, exceedingly happy. The only time he's happy. When are you happy, Jonah? I'm happy when things are going my way. But what about these people? I don't care. Cut them down, man. I can't get anything off of them. They're Ninevites. They're my political enemies. They're going to destroy us someday. So they're not worthy of the gospel. That makes me upset. Now this makes me happy. So the Lord says, I'll take it away from you. And he's upset again. And the Lord says, you know what? You were happy about your tree. Now you're upset. I was upset and bothered by these people's lack of repentance and need of salvation. And I've sent you and they've gotten saved. And all these children. In fact, he kind of tags the end saying, you've cared more about your tree than I've cared about their cattle. If you read it, it's in there. In other words, Jonah, wake up! You see men as trees walking. Be careful. We need a second touch. Third thing we see when we see a tree, or maybe what we don't see. Say, Brother Rob, how do I know I see men as trees walking? When you look at people like you look at a tree, as far as not just fashion or fruit, but future. Amen. You look at a tree, if the tree falls over and the wind blows, so what? It's no big deal. You know, what's the saying is, if a tree falls in the middle of the forest and no one's around to hear it, well, who cares? I mean, that's my ending to that phrase. Who cares? Amen. The bumper sticker I liked said, if a man says something in the middle of the forest and no woman is around to hear it, is he still wrong? That makes sense. But the fact is, you know, who cares if a tree falls over? The lawn doesn't fall on my car, you know, that kind of thing. Who cares if your neighbor down the street has emphysema, is ready to die? Who cares? I mean, he smoked all his life, you know. Are we really that calloused? Do we really see people as Jesus Christ, who went out of his way to go to a place that would get him into all kind of political hot water called Samaria, where he would have an opportunity to talk to a wicked woman? I'm talking about, do we see people like we should, beholding them? Do we love them? Well, the answer is, sometimes yes, probably, I hope, but sometimes no. How do we get that look? How do we behold people and love them? Well, look what Jesus did, and then we're done. He said he put his hands upon his eyes. He got a second touch and made him look up. You know, the answer is not, okay, look at people. And the answer, by the way, you can look at people and you may get more fear of man, and you may get more emotionally stirred. You may get more hateful. But what we need is to look up. I know one that loves people. And there's times when I'm talking to people, he shines that love abroad through my heart. It takes a look at Jesus. We live in this bus and this rig that's out behind the church, and living in that, we've got several pets, and a couple of them are gerbils. And you say, why gerbils? Because they're little, amen? And space is precious. So he says, Brother Rob, do you like the gerbils? They are not my pets. They're not my mice. But you know what? My daughters own the gerbils, and they take care of them. And there's also a tarantula in the bus. Oops, I let it out. We own a tarantula pet, too. But I don't like any of them. Why do I have them there? Because I like them. Amen. And concerning these gerbils, I told the girls, I said, if the gerbils ever get loose, I said, our bus has holes in the floor It used to be a Trailways bus, and the holes that are in the floor way off in the corners lead down into the old air conditioning system, and that goes to no man's land, and we could never get them out. Don't let them loose. Cover the cage. And sure enough, one day we came home from a meeting, went into the bus, the cover was off or partially off, and one of the gerbils had escaped. And I was like, this is not good. So the kids are like, oh, they knew what I said. Well, where's the gerbil? So we looked around, and Sandy the gerbil had gone down in and slipped and took a sliding board ride way down into no man's land in the bus, and I just shook my head. You know, my wife had put an ear down and listened to the thing and heard this little stick, tick, 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 tick from deep in the bowels of the bus. And I told my kids, I said, I told you, I'm sorry. Well, they commenced to crying and crying and crying. And man, you know what, preacher? At 12:30 in the morning, I was down under the bay of the bus, emptying it out and ripping the bulkhead open and ripping the ductwork and the wires and the flanges. And that my boys were down there. We had spotlights set up. I mean, it was like a big news rescue operation of a kid in a well. And I was just tearing into it. And you know what? I wasn't thinking, oh, Sandy. I was thinking, Sandy. And I was thinking, dumb gerbil. I was thinking, but my kids, I don't want their heart to be broken. So I tore into the thing. And finally, long story short, reached into a pocket behind a fan, a squirrel cage fan, and pulled out a ball of fuzz. And it was alive, and it was well, and it was Sandy. And I handed it to my son, who handed it off to someone else and down the line. And the girls got it back, and they were just excited. And you know what? I got excited. I mean, they were happy. By the way, I was Mr. Hero. I was just, I don't think they ever did anything for me, but come to think of it. But they were just happy. And I went up, and man, I had to put everything away by myself, I think. And fix it all back up. But you know what? As I walked back up into the bus real, real late, I was thinking, why did I do this? Not because I love this stinking gerbil. I did it because I love them. And they love the gerbil. Why were we going after sinners on visitation? Why are we going after the military? Hey, why are we on earth? Amen. It's because we don't just naturally love people because we know how rotten they are because we are one. But because we love Him and He loves people. All right, Lord, if loving You means I got to love them, let's go. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You that You love us despite how foolish and stupid we can be. You care for us. Thank You, Lord. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. But Lord, we do pray that You would help us to have that second touch and look up, fall in love with Jesus, and then obey Him, giving out the good news. And we will thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn over to the preacher.
Let's all stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.